It's good to be here. Throat's still tied up. Kind of reminds me of the tent meeting over in Indiana. Satan really worked on my throat. I've been waiting for the redemption of the body, and God has brought the redemption of the body. What a wonderful, beautiful thing it is to be a Christian and to love Jesus and to know that God is with us, that God is for us, and that God is leading us all the way into the kingdom of God. So then, we're glad to be here tonight, glad to have a chance to fellowship, glad to see you. Tonight is camp meeting, Sunday night. Tonight's the last night of the camp meeting. Been going, had a good crowd every night, a good moving of the Spirit. Of course, that's why I'm hoarse tonight. But I love to praise the Lord, don't you? I love to praise the Lord. Before this meeting's over tonight, no doubt we'll be praising the Lord again. I thank God for His wonderful blessings. Some of the families have had to return to their home. Some of them would like for the meeting to go on longer. It's been expressed that we should go longer. Some of them would return. Some of them would stay longer. But unless the Lord speaks different, I feel like tonight should be the last night. We've got a lot of things that we've got to do for Jesus. When the camp meeting ends, it does not stop our responsibility, nor it does not stop the things that we have to do. We still have a tremendous amount of things that we must do. And you always have to work for God. Day and night you work for God. Sometimes it makes it kind of rough. It's one reason I'm hoarse tonight is because I've been trying to stay in with the Lord, and when you stay in and don't get any exercise, you don't utilize the ability and the strength to throw off a few little problems here and there. But nevertheless, God is with us, and that's what's important. God is with us. God is with us in the camp meeting. God is with us in everything that we go to do. And this, of course, to me is the greatest of importance, is that Jesus be with me. You know, I pray as they did the prophets of old, when David and the others went out to battle, they always said, "Don't send me up to battle, Lord, unless your presence go before me." And I always pray, "God, don't send me out to battle unless your presence go before me." The presence of God goeth before us. You know, I've watched during this meeting, and I'm sure that you have too, I've watched the cunning craftiness of the different ones that I've had behind the sacred desk and how they so easily slipped around to shoot at me and cut at me. Yeah, every camp meeting they do it. I praise them, magnify them in the eyes of the people, lift them up, and they gently try to slip the blade to my ribs. But every time they get caught in their own traps. You know, the reason for that is because God is with me. David said, when you had problems, said, my clothing was sackcloth and ashes. Said, but you longed to see my fall and to see my hurt. It would delight you to see something happen. But it never did happen because God took care of David. And I watched the cunningness and the craftiness, the jealousy. And I watched the shrewdness and I watched the words. I watched how God dismantled every bit of it and laid it even with the ground. Night after night and service after service. And I also watched carefully to see some of them that so easily tried to slip the blade. And I noticed that they fade away one at a time. When God dismantles them, they ease on off, and the next night they're not in the meeting. Really cunning and crafty. God is good. God is so wonderfully good. You know, the Bible said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. They plot against me. They whet their tongues like arrows to shoot at the upright in heart. They lay wait, they hide in the crevices to shoot at the upright in heart. But God never leaves the upright in heart. He never forsakes the upright in heart. The Bible said his eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, rewarding every man according to his works. And I watch the calamities that befall people. I watch the troubles they have. I watch the problems they have. How that different ones cunningly devise. And then all of a sudden something happens. But God is so good. God is so wonderful. Men that get up here a lot of times do it in words. And people that come a lot of times do it in thoughts. It's like Brother Branham said one time, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words do on earth. To cast down imagination, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Shrewd and cunning men. It's little wonder that God never meets their needs. It's little wonder that they fall by the wayside. It's little wonder that God never uses them. But I thank God for the truth, and I thank God for men of truth. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. You know, Cain was jealous of Abel. And that was a jealousy cruel as the grave. Finally took Abel's life. But God had a replacement. He brought Seth along. It has been said that during the time of the martyrs, back during the Dark Age, that though they repeatedly killed the women and the men, burned them at the stakes, Fox's Book of Martyrs states that it was like sowing seed in the ground. As fast as they put one in the ground, 2 to 10 sprang up. So then, God is good. God is with us. God loves us. But you know, it's bad to cut the preacher down because it might be the preacher that saves your child. And if you cut him down and chew him up, and you kill all of his influence, it's little wonder that your child would die and go to hell, turn out to be a dope addict or a wretch. It doesn't have anybody to have confidence in anymore. Just because you don't want to live right, don't want to conform to holiness, don't want to come down the real trail toward righteousness, you cut everybody down that's holy and everybody that's godly and everybody that wants to live right. That puts you in bad shape. It leaves you without a Savior. Somebody would say, I've got Jesus. No, the Bible teaches you don't have Jesus. Puts you in bad shape because the Bible said, I'll bring saviors in the plural. I will bring the saviors up upon the mount. The saviors are the ministers. The Bible said, know that you can, if you convert a man, you've saved a soul from hell. See, that's a savior. And the Bible says that you should hate the garments that's spotted with sin. They are the ones that can remit your sins. They are the ones that can retain your sins. The saviors. The Bible said every time Israel sinned, God brought them a savior. He brought forth a savior. And they saved Israel from destruction. I want to say again that we're grateful for people that love Jesus and those that come our way that help to build up the kingdom of God and encourage the saints of God in the ways of the Lord. You know, I have to listen to all kinds of things. I have to say something. If I didn't say things, ministers that come behind my sacred desk would have my people so split up and mixed up until they wouldn't know where they was going. So I'm compelled to say something to try to straighten out some of the error and the presumption, which is definitely not the anointing. Because I know you might say, well, Brother Pike, I hear people say good things about you all the time. I know that. And a lot of them really mean it. They really believe it. They stand for it. But on the other hand, if you're going to slip a knife in a man's rib and take his family, you've got to say something good about him while he's dying so as to get the attention of the people. It's the old Catholic spirit, the old evil spirit, you know, that says something good about the man to get control of his audience, to get the audience to flow with him and to move with him. And once they do that, then they start pulling their little gimmicks. As I sit and watch him, I watch when the spirit changes. And I watch the way it goes and the way that it does. And it's all right. I love them. Some of them are just babies. They don't hardly know their right hand from their left. And I just love them and I try to work with them. And then some of them are just renegades. They come in for the purpose of spots and blemishes to tear down and to mislead and to misguide the people of God. It's not just the ministers that come. I have people in this audience tonight like that, that live here on the campgrounds like that. They seek every occasion to tear down the minister. And even in the services, I pick their thoughts up. I got a man over to my right. He does it with a regularity. Tonight it wants to strike at him, but he's kind of pushing it off. But he does it with a regularity. It's because people do not have the Holy Ghost. They are believers. Some of them are devout believers. They come to service. They come with a regularity. Some of them even give an offering occasionally. And they praise God and they do all kind of things, but you can't realize how wretched and evil they are and how deceitful and how hypocritical they are. And you can't begin to understand the damage that they do to the kingdom of God. They come over here and number themselves with us, and they stay here a little while, and then they go out and they dress like the world, and they talk like the world, and they do like the world, and they procrastinate, and they blast, and they tear down, and they find fault. Then in a few days they come back, and they're numbered with the saints of God again, and it looks like they're part of the congregation. And the world out there sees them, and the world says, well, if that's God, I don't want it. See, Satan has got people that do that. I mean, they work with a regularity to do that. They're not sorry. They're not repentive. Only in the sense that they repent over the fact that they get to thinking that they're going to be turned into the lake of fire, which they certainly are. And they get to thinking that they're going to miss heaven and miss the good things, and the wrath of God is going to come on them in this life. And then they're real repentive. Like Esau. Esau repented not because he was sorry of his evil, but because he realized he had lost the birthright and lost all the precious things that he could have had he done right. And same way when it comes to Judas. Judas repented, but he didn't repent over his wrong. He repented when he realized that he had lost that great opportunity to be one of them that would sit upon one of the 12 thrones to judge the tribes of Israel. When he realized what he'd lost for a few pennies, as we would say, 30 pieces of silver, which was quite a bit of money in that day. But for a few pieces of silver, he had thrown his birthright to the wind. You know, it's sad to be like that, folks. Jesus had the Pharisees, the scribes, those that were religious, those that were supposed to be his comfort, his strength, those that were supposed to be upholding Christ in the earth. And they'd come to him and try to trip him up, say all kind of things. And Jesus would say, thou hypocrite, why tempt thou me? Why is it you want to tempt me? Why is it you want to find fault with me? Why is it that you want to cause me problems? For the Bible said, and they was gathered together. Why did all of them come together? And the Bible said, why did the heathens rage? Wasn't it because they come against God's Christ? Wasn't that what it was all about? Isn't that the reason that people lift themselves up against the real true man of God and the real things of God? It's Satan, it's Lucifer, it's the demons. Somebody would say, but I'm a believer, Brother Pike. Ain't no demon got a hold to me. I know Peter was a preacher of righteousness. He was an apostle, but Jesus called him a demon. Jesus looked at him and said, you devil, get behind me. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did he do that? He called him that. He said, call him a demon? That's what a devil is a demon. Called him a devil. Why did he call him a devil? He wasn't speaking of Peter only in this sense, that Peter gave place to a devil. And whatever you give place to willingly, then that's what you are. That's what you are. If you give place willingly to the Spirit of God, then you become the body of Almighty God. You become the body of Jesus Christ. You become a saint of God. If you give place to a devil, then you become a devil. Whatever you give place to, that's what you are. So then being a believer don't mean anything. You've got to have the Spirit of God. If you are a believer, you may go far enough to get sanctified. You may go far enough to get sanctified. But being a believer is not enough. Just being a believer does not make you a Christian. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? See, being a believer makes you eligible. But if you receive not the Holy Ghost, if you receive not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, the Bible said ye are none of His. I know there's people that teaches you can be a believer and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and you can be saved and somebody else can be sanctified. They've got all kinds of things, you know. And one can get in it this way and one can get in it another way and one can get in another way. They actually teach that. Hundreds and thousands of preachers teach that. Even in your leading preachers in the Pentecostal churches. But folks, I'm here to tell you there's only one way. If you have His Spirit, you're His. If you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. See, that's it. You've got to have His Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of the redeeming of the body. Or the Bible said unto the day of redemption. So then you've got to have God's Spirit. You've got to have Christ's Spirit. There ain't no other way. You've got to have His Spirit. So being a believer is not sufficient. Just being a believer is not enough. That's not enough. So let me invite you to become a real Christian. A real Christian. You can go far enough to get sanctified, but that's not enough. You can go so far that you can actually taste of the heavenly gifts. Be made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Be made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And taste of the power, the gifts, the power, speaking in tongues, healing the sick, miracles. Taste of the power of the world to come and still fall away and be lost and be damned. Did you know that? God can take you that far. The Bible tells us that it is impossible to renew you again under repentance once you have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Once you've come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That is, there is no more atonement. Once you sin, after you come to the knowledge of the truth, the blood of Jesus Christ never atones for you again. Because the blood of Jesus is for an unwilling sin. The doves were offered for them that sinned ignorantly. People that have never known God. People that are trying to do their best and stumble. People that don't know any better. The blood of Jesus was spilt in their behalf. But once you come to the truth, taste of the good things of God, and then turn and go your way, and refuse to go on with God. Once you taste of that wonderful thing of God, and then go back to the things of the world. The Bible said, having put your hands to the plow, looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So then, God said, my soul shall have no pleasure in them that draw back. Once you draw back and go back to the things of the world, and you willfully sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There is no blood atonement for that. You say, well, what is there for me, Brother Pike? The Bible said, only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries at his coming. So then, what do we need to do, beloved friend? We need to serve him with all of our heart. Once you do that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You say, well, Brother Pike, everybody has to do that. I've never done that. I thank God I've never done it. I know some others that have never done it. They've never done that. You don't have to do that. There's no record where Elizabeth did that, where Mary did that, where Jesus did that, where John did that, where Elijah did that, where Abraham did that, or Joshua did that. You don't have to just play around with God. Be in and out and up and down and over and under. You don't have to do that. You know what that is? The Bible said a double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. Said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. God is nothing for that man. When you're at this church over here today and that church tomorrow, and you're with this preacher tonight and you're with another preacher tomorrow, you're double-minded. God don't have anything for you. You're what the Bible calls a wandering star. just wandering to and fro. You never hold a post of duty. You never support any church. You never support any cause of God. You never give to the widows and to the orphans. You don't have any consistency in God. You just wander here and there, just whenever, whoever. See, you don't belong to anything. You don't support anything. You don't have a shepherd. You don't have anybody to present you to God at the end of the way. Everybody has a leader. Did you know that? Everybody has a leader. If you work on a job, that boss is your leader. You work for him. If you belong to some organization of the world, there is a president or leader at the top. If you work for some kind of industry in the world, there is a leader. Like Ford, I mentioned this the other night, he started that great organization. You're supporting his cause when you work for Ford. Everything is started by somebody. So you follow somebody. You might be Baptist. The man that started the Baptist church, you follow him. You might be Methodist, following the man that started the Methodist church, John Wesley. You might be whatever, but somebody started every move. God gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. You are a limb that came out from that tree, and that tree came from the root, which is Jesus Christ. It doesn't have but one tree, and that's the tree of life. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I don't belong to anything. I don't follow anybody. Yes, you follow somebody. You're following somebody. I don't have time to dispute with you tonight and try to find out who it is. But I can tell you in general that if you ain't following God, you're following the devil. Someone say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian, and I don't follow no organization. I don't belong to no church. I don't follow anything. But there's one thing about it. If you don't follow anybody else, then you're following self. And self is the worst one that you could ever follow. You're following your own thoughts. You're following your own mind. You're following your own program. You're doing your own thing. And you're starting something for somebody else to follow. So then it depends on whether God is in your heart or whether something else is in your heart. Someone would say, well, God's in my heart. If God was in your heart, then you'd follow his program. And his program is forsake not the assembling of thyself together as the manner of some is, but exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. The program of God is this, that we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And them that you love, you are with. Them that you are love, you are around. Them that you love, you function with, you flow with, you live with. That's why you live with your family, because you love them. So there's no way to get around it. The truth is the truth. There's no middle road. There's no in between. You're either for me, gathering with me, Jesus said, or you're scattering abroad. If you're not working with me as a unit together, he said, then you are scattering. Everything that you do, everything that you say is misleading somebody and taking somebody away from the organized move of God, away from the brotherhood, away from the shepherd. I see ministers, they get up here and they so cunningly dismantle the ministry, do away with the ministry, and they scatter the sheep. They smite the shepherd so they can scatter the sheep. Shrewdly, cunningly, they come in and out here and they smite the shepherd so that they can scatter the sheep. Or to rise up among us, Paul said, and lead men away after them. Split the church. Change things around. Wanting money, fame, admiration. Having people's person in admiration because of advantage. The Bible said, whales without water, wandering stars, no light, raging waves, raging out their own foam or their own shame, for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever as pertaining to the wandering stars. So then, folks, the ministry is together. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. The ministry is together, not to scatter. Somebody said, but God said, come out of them. I'm a God that says, come out of them. Get away from them. That's true. He said, come out from among the world and be a separate people. Not a separate person, a separate people. So then he said, come out from among the world. But God has never said, come out of the church. God ain't never led nobody out of the church. You know, I think about the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostal and the Presbyterian and the Catholic, Church of Christ and Church of Science. I think about all them. I don't think we need to get them out of there. I think what we need to do is get the saints of God to rise up and take the kingdom and put the devil out of there. You don't find where Jesus Christ left the sanctuary. You don't find where he left the synagogue. He took him a whip and went in there and turned the tables over and said, you get out of here, you bunch of devils. You've made my Father's house a den of thieves. He run them out. He set things in order. He got things straightened out. Now I suggest this. If you can't get things straightened out and the devil's got it, you know the devil's got it and it's just a bunch of devils in there, then get out of it. The Bible said it's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. But otherwise, you need to pop the whip a little bit. You need to put on your long dress like a real lady. March right down in the midst of them and sit right there and go in and out as they look at you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's right. That's what you need to do. Did you know there's some good, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled Baptist ministers that's helped to found the Pentecostal way? And did you know there's some Holy Ghost-filled Methodist ministers? And did you know there's some Holy Ghost-filled Catholic priests that's helped to lead the way for real, genuine Pentecost? Real holiness? Folks, we just need to have a backbone, that's all. We need to have a backbone. You know, if you got a husband that won't let you serve God, just look at him with all reverence and respect. Don't be ugly to him. He's your husband. Talking to the women now. You just be as nice to him as you can. And say, honey, I love you. Jesus first and you're second. I'm going to church tonight. I'd like for you to go if you want to come along. If he says no, it's a goodbye, I'm gone. Don't go off to frolic. Don't go off and leave him. Don't be contrary to him. Don't go to church just to be going to church. But if there's a house of God and they're worshiping God, you go to church. Let him do what he wants to. Somebody says, Brother Pine, I can't afford to leave him. Well, when the death angel comes around, you're going to leave him for a while. As a matter of fact, you're going to leave him altogether, and he's going to leave you too. And you can't keep him home. He'll be gone. If he comes for you, you'll be gone, and he can't keep you there. I think it's a lot better to yield to God and do something for God than it is to obey the death angel. If you're going to obey the death angel, look like the least you could do is obey God, don't you think so? So then be kind to him, be nice to him, the same way with a wife. If you've got a wife that just wants to be a contrary devil, you walk off and go to church anyway. Don't fuss with her, don't fight with her, don't start a war with her. You serve God. God first and wife second. Somebody say amen or shut up, preacher. If it's right, you need to say amen to it. God is good, folks. God is good. So then, as I say, I can't just get up here and let things go by. I can't do it. I got to flock. I got to watch after them. You know, somebody comes into your home and they poison the minds of your little children, or they put deceit in there, you got to say something, either while the man's present or when he leaves, or both. Isn't that right? If you've got a good wife, that is, she don't know God, there's nothing good but God. But if you've got a fine person for a wife and she's not a Christian, don't try to leave her, don't try to get away from her. The Bible said she can be won over, vice versa. The wife, the husband, the wife can be won over as they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. When they see your reverence and respect for God, they can be won over and you can win them to God. If they be pleased to dwell with you, don't go off and leave them. But if they leave, the Bible says that a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases should the unbelieving leave the believing. So it's so good to be a Christian and to understand his lovely way, to know what he's doing, and to know what he wants for our lives. Glad to have my wife's mother with us tonight. Miss Grace, she's up. I wondered if she's going to get up for the camp meeting. This is the last night, but she's here with us. She looks like she really enjoys Bethlehem, the people of Bethlehem. She loves the people of Bethlehem, and she loves to come up to the camp meeting. Over 80 years old, still going strong. Seem like some of us, later generation, that we just don't have what that generation had. Seem like a lot of these, you know, they don't go very far, but they seem to hold on a long time. The elders, they go a long ways. You know, if we can get back to one place, folks, and that is to where the youth respected the elders and the elders respected the youth, we'd have a great church. You know, we're in that place to where the youth wants to follow the youth. And of course, they get in a mess because youth can't follow youth. They haven't had the experience. They don't have the mind of God. Paul said in his teachings, and Peter said in his teachings, especially emphasized this, said, let the youth honor the elders and obey the elders in the gospel. And let the youth be submitted to the elders, that the elders of the church might give them the old paths that they can walk in and find peace. Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest God comes and smite the earth with a curse. Don't turn the children loose to be wild and children to go after children and to do what they want to. If young leaders are going to lead, then let them be under an older leader. Let them be under somebody that knows what they're doing. Don't let them get out there just footloose and fancy free, as the world says. Say, bless God, it's me and nothing else, and here we are and here we go. Because all you're going to do is cause a mess. That's all you're going to do. You're going to say a whole lot of things that you're convicted in and a whole lot of things that you believe that's right. And all you're going to do is make a mess. And then somebody has got to come along and clean it up. So it's good to be a Christian. Well, I was going to have some special singing. I done talked it all away. I really did want to have some special singing tonight, but come in here and got to talking and had two or three I'd like to have had sing. But we're going to go right on to the word of the Lord. And even though I'm hoarse tonight, I still feel like I ought to talk with you. You know, as I said, I watch the people that do wrong. It is like God spoke about, of trampling the wheat. You know, they go into the garners, the granary. They gather the wheat into its proper place. And in the Old Testament, it speaks of them trampling the wheat. They would trample the wheat. And the chaff would fly up. And then the winnowing winds would just take it all away. Just take every bit of it away. And I notice that some of them that cut, try to cause problems, a little bit of trampling of the wheat when you get up here and the winnowing wind starts and you look for them in the services and they're going away. That's why that I emphasize following Jesus. The songwriter said following Jesus one step at a time. Following Jesus one step at a time. That's why I believe in following Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Tonight, I've turned to this scripture, St. John. Let's read it, can we? Chapter 10, St. John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered, The many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blaspheming, because thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, said ye, gods? If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came in the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I say I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of the hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles. But all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. I know that a lot of times things are said behind the sacred desk that's not the right thing. But like Brother Branham said, you have to spit out the seed and eat the pie. You don't throw the pie away. Somebody would say, Well, Brother Pike, if they're not right, they're not right. They don't need to be messing with the word. I agree with that. But nevertheless, the Pharisees and scribes wasn't right. But Jesus said, don't do the way that they do, but do what they tell you to do. Because they're sitting in the seat of Moses. They've got the word. I have to do like the law tells me to do. I don't do like the law does. Because usually policemen and sheriffs and whatever, you find such a wretched bunch of people. If I'd done the way that they did, it would be bad. You remember how I was going through Texas and this law stopped me over the morning. Took me down to a little place, woke up a judge in a little old place out there judging me. And when he judged me, he said, you was going too fast. I said, I know it. It was over the morning and I got too fast. I was traveling, been traveling for many days. I got too fast. Wasn't hardly no vehicles on the road or whatever. But that didn't make any difference. I broke the law. I had to pay the penalty of the law. But when that same policeman got me, that patrolman got me, whatever it was, he cut right across the medium and then took me down to the law. So when I got before the judge, I said, it's just exactly like Paul said. I said, you set to judge me after the law and smite me contrary to the law. I said, you're making me pay for this when this man cut across the medium out here when he's supposed to be the example. And it tore the man up so bad I found out that the policeman that stopped me was a Christian. And of course, you remember how he pleaded with me, or asked me rather, to stay there and preach for the full gospel businessmen to what that which he belonged to. But nevertheless, God's got a way of doing things. Whatever God does, it's right. Gross darkness is covering the people. That means that the law is moving in again. When darkness comes, that means the law is come. Everyone that has fallen from grace is under the law. This is what happened to these people that Jesus communicated with. See, they that have fallen from grace, they are in darkness. Darkness, gross darkness is covering the people. What is the darkness? It's that intellectual mind of reasoning. People reason within their own human being, and they go contrary to God in reasoning. Anytime you reason, you go contrary to God. So then, when I reason, I would be contrary to God, because the Bible tells me not to lean to my own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And the Bible tells me that when I'm delivered up before the people out there, before the rulers, and they certainly will do it, they certainly will deliver you up. They'll blaspheme the name of the Lord. When you're delivered up, the Bible said, take no thought for what ye shall say. Don't premeditate. Don't try to plan it. For ye shall in the self same hour be given the words to speak, for it shall not be you speaking, but it shall be God the Holy Ghost within you speaking, coming for a testimony against them. You know, we don't just get anointed in the pulpit or in behind the sacred desk. We are God's anointed. I say this so often. Somebody said, well, he just wasn't anointed tonight. It doesn't work like that. The Bible doesn't say anything about him getting anointed. The Bible teaches that we are the anointed of God. We speak to you in your home, we are anointed. If we speak to you down at the service station, we are God's anointed. If we speak to you out here in the yard, we're God's anointed. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's God on the inside speaking to us. Any time that we speak, we stir up our pure mind, we're God's anointed. And it comes forth, it's not us speaking, but God speaking unto you. Many times I give people a word of God. I'm not behind the sacred desk. People come into my home and speak to me, and I give them a word from the Lord. And it comes to pass exactly the way that we said, so that they know that it is the Spirit of truth. Many times I've spoke to people, and they'd say, how do I know this is God in essence? I said, when it comes to pass, you'll know that it's God. But let me tell you something. Even the Word of God can be perverted. Did you know that? The Bible said they changed the Word of God into a lie. You can take the Word of God, and the man of God can give it to you, and you can become like Balaam. You can go out and take the Word of God and misuse it like Lucifer did. You can take the Word of God and try to apply it to your own gullible way of life. And that Word of God won't work the way that you want it to work. But the Word of God, according to the man of God, will work to the end as to whereunto he has sent it. When God said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in that whereunto I've sent it. It will prosper. It's without alteration. It's without alteration. God doesn't change his word. God doesn't alter his word. Whatever God has said, it's going to be exactly that way. Whatever God has said about the word, it's going to be exactly that way without change or alteration. Now, I want you to take notice of something tonight. Look at Jesus. Here he is with the Pharisees. He's trying his best to reason with them. A little doubt in my mind. But at times Jesus had been up all night long. Jesus had been up all night long, no doubt. I know at different times he'd been up all night long, because the Bible records it. He was a man that sometimes would get up early in the morning. And he would go out early in the morning before the break of day. The Bible uses the terms a great while before day. And he would go out and he would talk to God and he would pray. And he'd stay there all night long. He'd pray to God all night long. Maybe some nights or from early morning over to the break of day. And then he'd come out to try to feed the children. come out to try to share with the children, to do something for the children. And just as sure as he came out, that pack of wolves would hit him. Just as sure as he come out into the open here, the hypocrites would come. And here would come the Pharisees one day, and they'd have something to say. And before they could get through, here would come the Sadducees. And here would come the publicans, and here would come the lawyers, and here would come the scribes, always trying to trip Jesus, always trying to tear Jesus down in the eyes of the people. But God magnified Jesus. No matter what they did, God magnified Jesus. And the Bible said his fame spread throughout the land. Jesus was honest. Jesus was straight. Though Jesus was a man, he learned obedience by the things he suffered, just like I learned obedience. It was revealed to him that he was God Almighty. He grew in the grace and in the knowledge that came from the Father in heaven. And he grew in favor with man and God. And it was revealed to him that he was God. As he come forth from a little baby, as his mind developed, it was revealed to him that he was God. And here these Pharisees come. I want you to take notice of it. Here they come to confront him and say things against him. Here come the Pharisees. They say, such and such and such, Jesus has a dispute with them. At last they look at him and they say, you got a devil. So that's what's wrong with you. Jesus said, I don't have a devil. And so here they go, pro and con. Jesus said, I don't have a devil. Said, if I'm casting out demons by Beelzebub, said, who do your children cast them out by? So then he said, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. If I come against you and you come against me, and we divide things up, especially the ministry, why, the people of God's never going to get together. How can it stand? Because it's not the house of God. See, that's not the house of God. When we do those things, that's not the house of God. What does God want the ministry to do? To turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He said, if them children don't get back over there with the fathers, he said, they're going to be a bunch of reprobates. They're going to be out there in the world. They're going to do wrong. And I'll come and smite the entire earth with a curse. I've got to have somebody to receive me at my coming. There's got to be a church. There's got to be somebody. There's got to be somebody in the earth to hold back the wrath of God until the time of the translation. And then there's got to be somebody that I can meet at my coming to keep from smiting the earth. And so then he tells us that we should walk upright with God. When we go out of here, the Bible teaches that we're the salt of the earth. Just as quick as you take away the salt, the meat spoils. So when we get out of here, what's going to happen? Everything's going to spoil, except for one thing. God's got some Jews. He's going to seal the Jews. He's going to bring the Jews in. He's got to bring the Jews in. Because when we get out of here, there won't not be nothing to preserve the earth. He's got to turn them as the children back to the fathers. He's got to get them back to the fathers. Because when the church has gone out, God will have to smite the earth unless he has something in there to preserve it. So what he does, he seals 144,000 before he gets us out of here. And that way he keeps from smiting the earth. Once we're gone out of here, being the salt of the earth, then he seals those Jews. And those Jews stand here to protect the people, to keep God from just literally destroying everything. He said, if I didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. So then we see that we must turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. You've got to have a shepherd. You've got to have a leader. You've got to have a pastor. God put a fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the faith of the saints of God. You've got to have that ministry. There's no way to get around it. You can't just wander to and fro, do your own thing and go where you want to. That's the trouble with the world today. Jesus said, you add to this book, I'll add these plagues to you. You take away from this book, I'll take your part out of the book of life. The world is filled with plagues today because everybody's got a revelation. Everybody believes they're supposed to preach. Everybody talks about the Bible. Everybody tells you what it says. Everybody tells you what it means. And they're taking away and adding, taking away and adding. They're not leaving it to the ministry. And because of this, God is just smiting everywhere. The plagues are being added. Folks, you don't need to mess with dynamite if you don't know what you're doing. You don't need to mess with TNT unless you've been trained for it. You don't need to be messing with these atomic powers unless you know what you're doing. Don't mess with acid unless you know the characteristics of it. You can get yourself in bad trouble. If you want to mess with acid, get somebody that knows the characteristics of it and then work with them as they work with the acid, or get them to train you so that you don't get eat up by it. The hearts of the fathers. That's why that when different ones come behind my sacred desk, I have to say something. Because Satan cunningly smites the shepherd to scatter the sheep. He cunningly slips in to take and belittle the pastor or belittle the ministry so that he can slip the sheep out, so he can lead them away. While we're trying to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. So God won't come with a curse, but he'll come with a blessing. Somebody would say, but the fathers are here, Brother Pike. And I don't mean this wrong, and I don't mean this critically. Somebody said, there's the 700 Club. There's PTL. Those people are not fathers. That's not the ministry. You say them men are called to the ministry. I beg your pardon. They're not ministers. They're not fathers. You say they're reaching hundreds of thousands of people. I know broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many shall enter therein. Brother Pike, you're going to prove to me that they're not fathers? I can prove to you that they're not fathers. The Bible said if these men had been my ministers, if these men had stood in my presence, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. Those men are not causing people to turn from sin. They are taking people deeper and deeper into the things of the world. And the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. They're leading them more and more into the things of the world. I remember when the mighty man Oral Roberts, moved by the power of God, was going on with God, stood for holiness. And I hope someday he'll stand for holiness again. But when he got out into the world and started out into the world, like many other of the ministers, many of the other ministers, got out in the world, brought ball games in, bathing suits in, running, jumping, acting like a bunch of heathens, has taken the people and turned them into a bunch of heathens. One of the most detrimental things that ever happened to the church was when Oral Roberts walked off from holiness and began to preach on TV. Billy Graham's done the same thing. Billy has led the people into the world, hundreds of thousands of people, deeper and deeper into the world. Jimmy Swaggart is doing the same thing. I know that Jimmy Swaggart preaches good, and I know he says a lot of good things, but I talked to Jimmy personally. I met his wife personally when she was wearing her pantsuit. I've been in his offices when all of his people just about it. His women were dressed out in pantsuit. When the Bible said if you wear anything that appertaineth to a man, it's abomination in the sight of God. I've got respect for Oral Roberts and all the good he's ever done. And I've got respect for Billy Graham and all the good he ever done. And I've got respect for Jimmy Swagger and all the good he ever done. But brother, sin is sin, whether it's in Brother Pike's life or Jimmy Swagger's life or whoever's life. Tell me something. Why don't Oral Roberts get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Why don't Jimmy Swaggart get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Why don't Billy Graham get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? That's the Bible. They say, well, I don't know it. That's not it. It's compromising. That's what it is. They know they're going to suffer reproach for his name. They're going to suffer shame for his name. See, that's like that bunch of Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites here. See, they wasn't willing to suffer shame for the name. They loved the upper places in the synagogue. They loved the upper places there. They wanted to be in the upper places. They loved the salutations in the marketplace. To be called a men rabbi. So what is it? They met Jesus. Jesus said, would you tell me something? Remember, Jesus was a man. Jesus got tired. He laid down on the boat. He was asleep. He was tired. He was weary. He was asleep. He was trying to get a little bit of rest. One time his disciples went to him and said, Jesus, said, you're beside yourself. Said, you've not eaten anything. But he loved to preach the gospel. He loved to talk to God's people. He loved to tell them the truth. He loved to break the bondage.
Jesus stood boldly before the preachers of that day and the scribes and the Pharisees. And he told it like it was. He told them the way that it was. And he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, why are you doing me like this? Why do you want to kill me? You know, that's a pretty bad situation, folks. Did you know it? Have somebody going around trying to kill you all the time. I got some of them folks here at Bethlehem. I've been here for a number of years, and the number of years that I've been here, they spent their time trying to kill me. Jesus said, I never sent you a prophet or wise man or whatever, but what you didn't try to stone him to death. They spent their life just about it, trying to kill me. Always saying something or doing something. Stoning people to death with your words. But they want to kill Jesus. And Jesus said, why do you want to kill me? Why do you want to kill me? I've not bothered you. I've not done anything to you. All I've ever done is try to do something good for you. David said, my clothing was sackcloth and ashes. I prayed for you. Why do you want to kill me, said. What fault do you find with me? But we say you got a devil. Jesus said, I don't have a devil. I do the works of my Father and you do the works of your Father. Said he was a liar, a murderer from the beginning, abode not of the truth. Said you're children of the devil. Said that's why you want to kill me. Said your father's the devil. They said we be Abraham's seed. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed. I know that. He said, but you're children of the devil. Said you want to kill me. Said I ain't done nothing to you. Said for what good work do you want to stone me? Yeah, I opened the blind eyes. I stopped the deaf ears. I made the lame to walk. Said, now why do you want to kill me? For which one of these works do you want to kill me? They said, we don't want to kill you because of the good works. Now listen. Said, but because you are a man. That's true. He was a man. How many agree he was a man? Let's get that down right. He was a man. Somebody said he was God. I know it's God. But he was a man. He was ever been a man. He was the Son of God. Somebody said, well, there ain't no Son of God. It was just God. I don't know where you get that teaching. Paul said, and to my heavenly Father, and to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man. God is a spirit. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. I'm a Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I'm a man. I've got bones. I've got flesh. I feel pain. I feel misery. I've been cut to my heart. I've been hurt just like anybody else. But my heavenly Father is a spirit. Jesus said, why do you want to do me like that? Folks, they said, for a good work, we don't want to stone you. Said, but you being a man, make yourself God. Now there's the answer right there. Why do they come against Bethlehem? Why do they come against this message? Why do they come against these things? Because you being a man, make yourself God, they say. You blaspheme. Jesus said, is it not written in the scripture, I have called you gods? I said, you're gods. But you perish from the lack of knowledge because you won't listen at me. Won't conform to me. You can't come into your godship. You can't come into your strength. Put on your beautiful garment, Zion. I'll give you beauty for ashes. You being a man, you make yourself God. You know what caused them to get upset over that? Because they said, we're rabbi. We are the rabbi. We are the priest. Nothing greater than the priest. We are the chief leaders. We sit in the chief places in the synagogue. Everybody takes a bow to us. And here comes Jesus. He said, laity, scribes, lawyers, priests, not capstone, the whole thing. He said, I'm above all of you. And that really tore their playhouse up. That really got them upset. They were afraid to say they were gods. They didn't have the understanding to say they were gods. And they'd done built themselves an empire here. Overseer, general overseer, and everything else. And I'm not against organized worship. But when God came along, they said, my God, we can't cope with this. This man going around telling the folks he's God. Now, if we go around telling folks we're God, we know they ain't going to believe we're God. You know why? Because they didn't do the works that God was doing. The world can't do the works that the children of God do. The Bible said, and these signs shall follow the gods. Father, in the garden of God. Somebody say, Brother Pike, do you believe a man's God? I sure do. Glory to God, I believe the man Christ Jesus was God. He said he was God. He said, but yeah, but what does that do for us? The Bible said he thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. He said, let you in the church have the same frame of mind. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, being made in the form of God. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. How many of you don't think that it's wrong to be equal with God? I believe this, and I've said it before. If a lion brings forth a lion, the lion cub is equal with the lion father. If an elephant brings forth an elephant, the elephant, little elephant, is equal with a big elephant. He might not be in size, but he's every bit elephant. He's part of the elephant. If a dog brings forth a dog and a cat brings forth a cat, then there are dogs and cats. And if God brings forth a son, then they're gods. There's no other way to look at it. God begat gods. Dog begat dogs. Elephants begat elephants. What are you tonight, Brother Pike? I'm a son of God. Jesus said, you stone me because I say I'm a son of God. I have you to know I'm a son of God tonight. That's why they find fault. And Brother Pike, somebody came out here and came in the door. Come all the way up here. Desecrated the house of God. Pushed forward with his arrogance. And come up here just to look at that chair over there where Brother Pike sits because of what somebody had said. Isn't that something? Said you being a man, you make yourself God. You blaspheme. Jesus said, didn't I say you were gods? You know, I went back and checked the Old Testament and I read it. And there it was. Jesus said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. A god is something that cannot die. And yet Jesus was God and he did die. But the difference is he had the power to resurrect himself. He come back alive, folks. The only begotten of the dead like that. There never has been anybody that ever raised themselves from the dead. But he said, now this commandment I have of my Father, that I can lay my life down or I can take my life up. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know I have the same commandment of my Father? As he is, so am I in him. The Bible said, all things that my Father's made known unto me, I've made known unto you. The same mind that he had in him, I've got it in me. The Bible said, let this mind be in you. What kind of mind was it that mind thought that God had given him the right to lay his life down and take it up? Come on, folks. For what reason? What reason do you stone me? Why do you do that? You being a man, make yourself God. This is the reason we stone you. Folks, you better get out some stones. You better bring some in to the next service. If you ain't got them tonight, you better hurry out and get them. You better hurry out and get them. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I said that I am a son of God. Jesus said, because I call myself a son of God. You say that I say that I'm God. Can you call yourself a son of God and not be God? How could you call yourself an elephant? A son of an elephant and not be an elephant? I wonder if we got any sons of God here. Let me see the hand. My land, look at the gods. Look at the gods. You could call this the garden of gods, couldn't you? You know, this thing we have here, this organ, we sent out there years ago into Colorado and we got it from Pike's Peak. And right there at Pike's Peak, they got what they call the garden of gods. And we got this from the garden of gods. So we'll just call this the garden of gods. Is that all right? The gardens of God. Hallelujah. The gardens of God. Let's give God a hand, can we? You know, if they hear the way we're talking, they'll liable to bring a whole truckload of stones out here. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. We are the garden of gods. We're God's people tonight. See, we're growing in that grace and knowledge. What is the God? Something that can't die. How many of you planning not to die? How are you going to live forever? You know, I'm beginning to think that maybe you believe that. The way you respond, I'm beginning to think you believe that. Have you believed that? Glory to God, you do believe it. I can tell it. See, we are the garden of God. We are God's own members. We are bone of His bone. We are flesh of His flesh. You understand what I'm saying, folks? We are bone of His bone. We are flesh of His flesh. That's why I said this morning, do we look for something else? Certainly not. What else is there? What can you be greater than God? When it's revealed to us that we are God's, that we don't belong to the world, that we are not beasts, we are not animals. Those people are beasts. And the Bible said some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Why do they die? Because they are beasts. But the Bible said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. Why? Because of some gods here. They're going to discover it. Now remember, you're gods, but you die like men. That is, you go to sleep. Because nobody's told you yet. Paul said, behold, I've got a secret. I got a mystery. Someday it'll be told you. Can't do it now. It's out of season. But when it comes time for you to quit sleeping and the darkness be taken away, said, then we're going to reveal it to you. So you won't be going to sleep. Lazarus asleep. I go to awake him. Have you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, die, Brother Pike. You can't die. Folks, when you are a Christian, you cannot die. Somebody said, well, that's a cute little saying. We say that to comfort everybody so that when they die, they won't, you know, they won't get all hysterical and they'll die, but they'll know that they're not, you know, and they don't know how to explain. Folks, this ain't a cute little saying. This is the word of Almighty God. You that are Christians will never die. The Bible said you pass from death unto life. You shall never come into the judgment or into condemnation. There's no way you can die. He said, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm speaking of the second death. Jesus was speaking of the second death. When he said die, he meant that the soul would never go into the lake of fire. The soul will never die. When the wicked comes forth after the millennium, he said, and this is the second death. He said, but blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over which the second death hath no power. He said, Lazarus is not sick unto death. This is for the glory of God. I'm going to wake him up. Lazarus isn't going to hell, Jesus said. This is not unto death. Then Lazarus is just sleeping, that's all. So I'm going to wake him up. I'm going to wake him up. You know, the Bible said, we do not sorrow as those that have no hope. When a person dies in sin, they have no hope. They go into hell. We don't sorrow when our loved ones go out if they're Christians. We don't sorrow the way the world does. We have a sorrow of loss of their fellowship. But our sorrow is to this extent that we know that they're separated from us, but we're going to be back with them. But the wicked know that they're gone once they're gone. A different sorrow, a different grief. Somebody say, I love Jesus. So then, what was God speaking of? The first death, when they put you in a grave, is not death. Jesus said, I say death because you don't understand my speech. But it's not death. What is it then, Brother Pike? It's sleep. Somebody said sleep, death, six of one, half a dozen of the other. No, it ain't that way at all. My friend, there is nothing less than a world of difference. When you go to sleep, you lay down in the grave out there, God can come and wake you up. Because your soul didn't go to hell. At death, your spirit went back to God who gave it, and your spirit is yonder in paradise. The Bible said Lazarus died, and he was carried to Abraham's bosom. We know his body was buried. His spirit was carried to Abraham's bosom. And the Bible said the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You know his body wasn't in hell. Oh, I know there's a teaching in the land. They say the grave, hell. I know there's a definition for hell for the grave. But the Bible said I'm tormented in these flames. There ain't no flames in the grave. It said hell from beneath is moved for to meet thee at thy coming. Enlarge itself without measure. See, it was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for God's, for the people, that is. It was made for the devil and his angels because of what he did. But because people have sinned, it's enlarged itself to make room for everybody that's going that way. So then he went into hell. And he looked back and saw paradise across that great gulf. That great gulf is the bottomless pit that separates. Across that great gulf, the bottomless pit, he looked up there. Out there in that gulf, that bottomless pit, that blasting heat from that furnace of hell, the fallen angels wandering those dry places seeking rest and can't find it. That's where Lucifer's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And them demons want to come into you. If you're sanctified, that ain't good enough. They'll come around, the Bible said, they'll find you sanctified. But then they'll go get 7 other devils worse than themselves, and they'll come back and all 8 of them will enter into you. And the last condition worse than the first. Why is that? Because it says that those spirits wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. They say, I'll go back to my house from whence I came. So then Jesus awoke Lazarus. There's a world of difference. You don't go into hell, beloved friend, when you are a Christian. That second death hath no power over you. You go to sleep. But see, we're coming to the time of the redemption of the body. God ain't never wanted his creature to sleep. Paul, just think, right after Calvary, Paul discovered that God didn't want his people to sleep. He discovered that God wasn't in the sleep. God has no pleasure in death. Death didn't come by God. Death came by man. But we are conquerors of death. We are conquerors of death. The Bible said, I give unto you power of all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Bible said death is the last enemy to be conquered. Why? Because it's going to hold on to the wicked. But folks, through Calvary, we conquered death. Death is behind us. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I say this so often. The Bible teaches that sin and death comes by the law. How does death get you? It gets you through the law. It comes by condemnation. We are transgressors. We doubt. Condemnation comes. To be carnally minded is death. So by sin comes the sting of death. And the Bible says the sting of death is because of sin. And sin is because of the transgression of the law. Think on it. There's going to come a time when God's going to reveal the secret. Paul said it's a mystery. But there'll come a day for it that all won't sleep. All won't sleep. The great change of Thessalonians will take place. And you won't lay down in the grave. And dirt won't be thrown in your face. Paul said, I've been caught up to the third heaven. Or he said, such a person as I knew. Caught up into the third heaven. Said, I don't know whether I was in my body or not. I ain't never figured that out. Said, but it's one thing I'm persuaded in, that to be absent from the body is to be present with God. So then, death, transgression of the law is death. Transgression of the law brings sin. Who can deny the transgression of the law brings sin? Can you deny it tonight? Transgression of the law brings sin. First, sin is the transgression of the law. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. If there is no law, there's no transgression. I can hear the Lord speaking to me about something right now. At the beginning of these meetings, there was somebody that had to do with the law. That somebody is going to be folded up and laid away. That's why God brought them here. That was their purpose here. That's their future. That's their life. Why is that? Because it was the law. It was the full strength of the law. And what does that have to do with? It's like the brother that moved out here across the street. He was a judge. God spoke to me and told me he had to do with the law, and at that time that he'd fold him up and lay him away. A young man, but God folded him up and laid him away. This man that came up, you had to do with that. God's going to fold him up and lay him away. Why? Because the law and the prophets are until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God's been preached and men pressed their way into it. So then this has to do with the coming of the kingdom of God. That is to say, in the earth, though it came at Calvary, yet we recognize it as of now. Whatever we recognize, whatever we believe, that's what we've got. As a man thinking in his heart, so he is. shall then transgression of the law is sin, beloved friend. Transgression of the law is sin. I want you to think on these things for just a few minutes. I'm not going to hold you real long. Transgression of the law. Transgression of the law is sin. I keep repeating that because I want it to settle down on the inside of it. The law came by Moses. Transgression of that law meant God would destroy a person. They brought that woman to Jesus. He was caught in the act of adultery. They said, Moses said, stone her. Why did Moses say stone her? Because the law said stone her. All dependent if you interpret the law right. They misinterpreted the law. See, the law wasn't given to destroy somebody that got caught in a problem. The law wasn't meant that way. There's no law of any value to the people unless it's seasoned with an element of grace. God had to bring Calvary to season the law with an element of grace that he might make allowance for the innocent, because that's what he intended from the beginning. God delights in mercy, not in death. So then transgression of the law is sin. The law came by Moses. When the woman sinned, they said, stone her to death. But the element of grace appeared. The element of grace appeared. And the element of grace come there and said, woman, where are those thine accusers? She said, there's not any, Lord. Jesus could have said, where's that bunch of hypocrites that's as guilty or more guilty than you are, that's got it all covered up and didn't think I knowed anything about it until I started writing in the sand? He could have said, where's that bunch of hypocrites? Somebody was the stoner. Who was it that was the stoner? He said, let him that is without sin. There was not one of them without sin, but there was the element of mercy. Jesus, he could have stoned her. Brother, he was perfect. He fulfilled the law to a T, and he could have stoned her to death. But he said, he that is without sin among you, let him do the stoning. When they all went away, he was the only one without sin. He said, woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Just go and don't sin no more. I say this again, folks. He couldn't just turn that woman loose. He would have broke the law. He would have violated what he told Moses to do. That would have been a divided kingdom. What could he do? The only thing he could do was look at that woman and say, lady, let me tell you something. You done wrong. Somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to pay for it. But let me tell you, I'm going to go to Calvary for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to take your sins for you. I'm your element of grace. I'm going to get you out of this thing. I can't get out of it. Like on the mountain, Abraham's son could get out of it. He could get out of it. He said, where's the sacrifice, Father? Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And it was, as it's been said, himself, even God himself came to be the sacrifice. Looked over into the bramble, and there was the bramble, and there was the lamb. That lamb couldn't get out of it. He had to die so Isaac could get out of it. There wasn't no way he could escape. You understand what I'm saying? The transgression of the law is sin. We've transgressed. We deserve death. We've got the sentence of death in us. That is, we had it until he heard the groaning of the prisoners and looked down from heaven and loosed them that was appointed unto death. Succored us in a time. Accepted, heard us, and secured us. The Bible said, and he loosed them that was appointed unto death. Came down and took our place. Folks, today I'm not appointed unto death. I'm not a transgressor of the law. I'm not a sinner. I'm a son of God. This is what upset the Pharisees and the scribes. They said, surely to goodness there's something wrong with him. We're going to keep looking. We're going to find something wrong with him. The Bible said their witnesses did not agree together. And even Pilate, after hearing all of their testimonies, he said, folks, I'm just going to have to be honest with you. He said, I don't find no fault in the man. I can't put this thing together y'all talking about. I don't see where he's done anything. He said, you'll just have to do whatever you want to do. He said, I don't know what to tell you about it. He said, I'm washing my hands of it. He said, this man's a just man. You understand, folks? Don't go jumping on God's people. Don't go jumping on the church. You can't find no fault with God's people. The Bible said you can't curse what God's blessed. Don't go jumping on God's people. The Bible said you can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It's God that justified. It's Christ that died. That's risen for our justification. That's at the right hand of the Father pleading our cause. It is God that's made us perfect forever. But the Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. The Bible said God's justified, God's predestinated, God's glorified them. They're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And the Bible said they keep themselves in the evil one, touch them not. How can you lay anything to God's charge? To do it unto them, you're doing it unto Christ. Isn't that right? So then, transgression of the law is sin. Transgression of the law is sin. But beloved, we are dead to the law. Being dead to the law, there's no way that we can transgress the law. A dead man can't transgress the law. We're dead to the law. We cannot transgress the law. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Jesus fulfilled the law, folded it up and laid it away. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there is no sin. For transgression of the law is sin. Where there's no transgression, there is no sin. Where there is no sin, there is no death. For the transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of death is sin. The thing that kills a person is the sting of death. Jesus plucked out the stinger. He took the sting out of death. He overcome death. There is no transgression of the law because there's no law to us to transgress because we're dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrected and alive in the Spirit. For He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He went to Calvary because I offended, but He resurrected as a proof that I'm alive forevermore because my sins are gone. They're gone. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. Far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. The writer said, my sins are gone. My sins are gone. No law, no transgression, no sin, no death. Oh grave, where's your victory at? Said, and then shall be brought to pass the saying, death, where's your sting? You don't have it anymore, do you? You're helpless now, ain't you? Where's your sting, death? For he that has passed from death unto life shall never come into condemnation. He shall never die. He shall never taste death. He shall never die. Where is your sting, death? Say, you're going to die, Brother Pike. I'm not going to die. You might die, but I ain't going to die. I pass from death unto life. Death hath no power over me. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. Jesus said, Martha, can you believe? Do you know that your brother's going to come back to life? Oh, yes. Someday in the resurrection, coming back to life. Said Martha, do you believe? Oh, yes, I believe, Lord. Mary, do you believe? Yes, I believe. What do you believe? What do you believe, Martha and Mary? What do you believe? Oh, well, let's see. We believe in the Church of God. We believe in the Baptists. We believe in the Methodists. We believe in the... We believe in what he said and she said and they said. And, you know, and the way it was told. But he said, Martha and Mary, do you believe my word? Have you heard my word, Martha? Mary, don't you know my word? Why do you say someday? They said, my brother shall live. Someday he shall live. In the resurrection he shall live. Jesus said, Martha and Mary, look at me. Said, look at me. Look at me, Martha and Mary. Said, why do you say someday? He said, I'm the resurrection. Listen, folks, let's get this straight. There is no someday resurrection. There is no yesterday resurrection or tomorrow resurrection or today resurrection. There's no someday resurrection. Where does someday resurrection come in? If there's a resurrection by day, why hasn't some days resurrected somebody before? There's no someday resurrection. Jesus said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. There is no such day as a day of resurrection. Time is nothing. It'll fade away into nothing. Time shall be no more. There's no days that's days of resurrection. He said, resurrection is not a day. He said, it's me. I'm the resurrection. Hallelujah. He said, look, children, I'm here. I'm here. When you gather together, I'm in the midst of you. I'm here. Why do you keep waiting for a day? It's no wonder folks don't get resurrected. It's no wonder that the church don't go out of here. As long as we preach someday resurrection, there ain't never going to be a translation. Come on, folks. How can there be a translation? Because we can't figure out which day it is. And after a while, we're going to run out of time altogether. Because the angel's going to set one foot on the land and on the sea and say, time's no more. What are we going to do about the days then? As long as we're looking for some day for resurrection, don't you know we ain't never going to get out of here? You say, why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. We got to get a resurrection to get them out of the grave. Jesus said, children, I'm the resurrection. Look at me. He said, I'm here, Martha. Oh, they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand. Folks, where is the resurrection? Is it in yesterday? Come on now, is the resurrection in the yesterday? Jesus was back here yesterday. Was it in the yesterday? If it's in the yesterday, somebody, I ask this question again, somebody tell me where yesterday is. Help me to find yesterday. Lead me to yesterday. Let's go back to yesterday. You know there ain't no such thing as yesterday. Come on now. You know there ain't no such thing as yesterday. That's just a figment of imagination. That's just some kind of program of human expression. That's a man-made word given to you for balance to keep your stability. This thing is a mind thing. I wish we had time to preach tonight. Well, if there's no yesterday, if you can't find it, then let's forget about it. Let's not cloud up our minds with it. The Bible said forgetting those things that are behind. We count yesterday as behind. Somebody would say, well, that ain't the way it is, Brother Pike. The resurrection is in tomorrow. Somebody help me find tomorrow. I could say I've been looking for it all day and ain't found it yet. Said, well, wait till you go to sleep tonight, Brother Pike, and then you'll find it. I went to sleep last night and was looking for tomorrow and woke up and was still today. Come on, folks. What day is the resurrection in? He said, Brother Plank, what are you getting at? I mean, the time is at hand. John said the revelation of Jesus Christ, when these things are revealed to you, he said, you're going to think different. And the moment you begin to comprehend and think different, the time is at hand. There ain't no yesterday and there ain't no tomorrow. There ain't no more waiting. It's right then and there that we begin to take hold of our healing. We begin to take hold of our salvation. We begin to take hold of this thing and realize that we've been children. Jesus didn't think about yesterday. Jesus didn't think about tomorrow. Jesus came and said, look, folks, the resurrection is here. Come on. Somebody said, no, it's tomorrow, Brother Pike. Maybe the day after tomorrow. Or it could be next week. When one of you find next week and day after tomorrow, I want you to come running to me and say, here it is, I found it, Brother Pike. Here it is, I want you to see it. You say you're mocking? I'm not mocking. I'm talking with good sense. Does this make good sense to you? The other don't make good sense to me. Now it did before I become a child of God and got the mind of Christ. Because I didn't know any better. You know, a man that's insane, that's in the insane asylum, it makes good sense to him to think that he's Abraham Lincoln or somebody. But if you ever get him back in his right mind, it doesn't make good sense to him anymore. You ever been down on your knees praying? Tired and weary, and you say, oh God, bless Brother Taylor. Oh God, bless Brother Lambert. God bless Brother Mark. God and the cow jumped over the moon, and away went the spoon. And you come to yourself, you say, oh my God, what did I say? What am I saying? I say, I never done that, Brother Pye. You ain't never prayed very long. You'll be praying, And you get so tired, your brain just gets so weary. Your body gets so weary and you're making good sense. And all of a sudden you're off in some crazy kind of talk. Half asleep and half awake. As far as you're concerned, the cow jumped over the moon and makes good sense. You just go right on talking about it. But when you snap out of it, you say, my God, what happened to me? What kind of crazy talk is that? Are you listening to me, folks? You ever had a dream? You ever had a night vision? You know, here something might help you. You know, sometimes you have them crazy visions. You're glad to get out of them, night visions. But if you ever had a vision where something happened to you, or you saw something that was so just perfect, I mean it was perfect, you think, my God, that's so perfect. And then you wake up and you go to look for it, and you can't find nothing to fit it. You know what that is? That is your body, it's gone to sleep. And you moved over into that realm of the spirit. And their spirit is perfect. And everything in the spirit world is perfect. Everything in your spirit is a child of God. It's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It's perfect. You understand what I'm saying? And when you get back into this body, you're in that old faulty side of life again. And it just does away with everything. My, I've seen some things so beautiful on the other side. But let's get back to our thought here now. See, where is the resurrection? When is the resurrection coming? What is the resurrection? Somebody said, well, there was Jesus. He said he was the resurrection. But let's be careful now, Brother Pike. Folks don't go around doing that. Oh, Brother Elijah did. Oh, Brother Elijah went over there, found something dead, and he didn't think it ought to be dead. Oh, Brother Peter went over there and found Dorcas dead. He didn't think she ought to be dead. He thought she was doing a pretty good job while she was living. David said in the grave, I can't praise you. You don't have any pleasure in death. So they just woke him up. Why did they do that? Somebody said, there you are. Peter was the resurrection. Well, yes and no. Not as Peter, but as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was he? Somebody said, well, it's for sure he wasn't a resurrection. Well, how in the world did he resurrect? Tell me, how did he resurrect? Somebody said, well, you don't have to be the resurrection to resurrect. Well, you resurrect. Let me tell you something. Brother, when you call the dead out of the grave, when you bring a person back from the dead, that's nothing but the resurrection of God. That resurrection in life is standing right there with you. That's Christ. That is the resurrection. That is the life. Jesus said, I'm a man, but I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, now, Brother Pike, this is the part they don't like. He said, as I am, so are you, son. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you no own heaven and earth and all things therein? And if you'll be good, I'll let you enjoy it with me. Somebody said, what are you talking about? You must be crazy, Brother Pot. The Bible said all things are yours. And he was talking to me as well as he was talking to you. Now, you might not believe it, but I believe it. He said, all things are yours. And I've given you all things that pertain unto life. What is all things? That's heaven and earth. Isn't that right? All power in heaven and earth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to quit. Believe it or not, I'm going to quit. Transgression. Folks, we've done stop transgressing. Somebody said, if I can just fast enough, if I can get perfect enough, if I can get in there right, Brother Pike, I'm going to stop this foolishness and then I'm going to be somebody. Bless your heart. I know you ain't got out of your diapers good yet. But let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ, when he hung at Calvary, didn't take care of it, it's for sure you and me can't do it. If God didn't take away your sins through Jesus Christ, it's for sure that Brother Pike can't do it. It's for sure there ain't no revival that's going to do it, and there ain't no preacher that's going to do it. There ain't no coming prophet that's going to do it. If Christ didn't do it, it won't be done. God delivered me from my sins, folks. He took me away from transgression. He said, I keep myself, and the evil one touches me not. By the works of Christ, I am free from the law and death. I am free from the transgression. This is what Paul spoke of concerning the revelation. Then what am I waiting on? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. next week. What am I waiting on? I ain't waiting on nothing. Glory to God, I like it up here in heaven. I said, my God, that boy done preaching Bethlehem's heaven. I didn't say nothing about Bethlehem being heaven. I said, up here where I'm at is heaven. So, well, you're here at Bethlehem. You can't prove it. Somebody said, but I see you, Brother Pike. How do you know it ain't a lying vanity? Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He said, it's a lying vanity. He said, but it wasn't. It was the whale's belly. Well, after a while, he looked around. It wasn't a whale belly. After a while, you're going to look around. And I ain't going to be here. You must be looking at lying vanities. The Bible said not to know any man after the flesh. You're trying to look at my flesh. And you can't do that. Somebody said, well, I can. You can't do that. Why come you can't do that? Because it's buried. Be buried in a water grave. It's not me living, but him. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And you know what he said? He said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. How do you like to dispute that tonight? He said, it's not me living. He said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. My God, that boy's done begin to preach heaven out there in that church. What's the matter with him? I like it like that. I feel better in heaven than I did at Bethlehem. A lot of problems in Bethlehem. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you've got to remember, it's A, B, C, and then the rapture. Well, what we did, we just took the rapture and forgot about the A, B, C. I mean, what's the difference? They said, we've got to go to battle. We need 100,000 men. He said, the battle is the Lord's. Forget about the army. He said, the battle is the Lord's. He said, you don't need no army. So Jonathan, he just went out and got his armor bearer. Got his armor bearer and got his shield and sword. He said, now look here. He said, let's be men about this thing. He said, it's not really us that's going to win the battle anyway. He said, don't you know it's God that wins the battle? He said, let's me and you just go on out there and take care of it. And he went out there and there was. He took care of it. Old Samson reached back and got the jawbone of an ass and 1,000 men, an army of 1,000 men coming at him. But Samson knew the battle was the Lord's. He just went out there and took care of it and forgot about the rest of them. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Folks, we need to get out of our human reasoning. The Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in the Word. If God says, I'm in heaven, I'm in heaven. I don't care what the natural mind says. If the Bible said, God's chosen me out of this world, hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, then I don't care what my mind says. I don't care what nobody else says. It's just like God said it. I'll tell you something else. If you've got cancer, and you listen to what the doctor says, and you listen to what everybody else says, you're going to die with cancer. You're going to die with cancer. But brother, when you call it a lying vanity because the Bible said, by stripes you're healed, and you don't care what your natural mind says, you're going to come out of that thing and begin to walk around. You're going to be whole and rejoicing in God. And the world's going to say, my God, what is this? And Jesus healed those withered arms, restored the blind eyes to sight, unstopped the deaf ears. Folks, that's not scientifically possible. He didn't give them no pill, and he didn't give them no shock treatments, and he didn't take them to the hospital, and he didn't put a knife in them. Sometimes he would pick up a mud paddy to confound the wise and the prudent. How do you understand what I'm saying? You say, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell me that we, or tell you and me. God said, what I say to one, I say to all. That's God speaking, not me. I'm trying to tell you that God's word is settled in heaven. That God's word is right. That we've made the translation. That we've made the rapture. That we've made the change. That we did it by Calvary. All of that's behind us. Our sicknesses are gone. Our power is gone. We are those that God has chosen out of this world and put in heaven. And it's time that we started rejoicing, thanking God, loving the Lord. We've come into that third heaven, which is the mind of Christ, and the flesh profited nothing. Somebody said, what about my flesh? Your flesh profited nothing. When you was baptized in the name of the Lord, you got rid of your flesh. And you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. It's not you living, but Christ living within you. Somebody said, well, I don't see it. I know now, beloved, are you the sons of God, and some of you can't see it. You know men after the flesh. When you got cancer, you got to believe that cancer's a lying vanity. When you got problems, you got to believe it's a lying vanity. When you got oppression, you got to believe it's a lie and vanity. When you look at your flesh and know yourself after the flesh, you got to believe that's a lie and vanity. Because the Bible said it's gone. The Bible said to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not you living but Him. That you're bone of His bone and you're flesh of His flesh. And you're without spot and you're without wrinkle. And the Bible said that He was made a quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, a living soul. But when you was born again, you was made a quickening spirit. For the Bible said, as He is, so are you in Him. And He's a quickening spirit. And the Bible teaches that God has made you bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. It's not you living but Him. It is Christ. Somebody said, Brother Pine, if you're not careful, somebody will look on you like the Lord. Paul, he said, you receive me as the Lord Himself. Amen. Glory to God. I like it. Come on, folks. He didn't say, don't do that. He said, where is that? So I come back to you and I can't find it now. He said, what happened to you? He said, don't you remember you received me as the Lord? Come on, folks. He said, preach the word. Is that right? Caught up into heaven. The third heaven. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you can't go up to heaven and do that. Jesus went up there with Moses and Elijah, come back and died on the cross, and he went back up there. Be careful how you entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels unaware. Some of them are people sent from God. And angels encamp round about them that fear the Lord. There's angels here tonight. Be careful of your mannerism. You might be entertaining angels. You never tell. I'm going to close out now. But I want to found this thing real good. Where is the resurrection? When is the rapture going to take place? What is this thing that Paul spoke of, a change in the moment in the twinkling of an eye? When is that? What day is it? He said, and the mysteries of God shall be finished. And he set his foot on the land of the sea, raised his hand to heaven, and swear by him that live forever. There ain't going to be no more days, Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. God is that great God of eternity. There's never been anything but eternity. And right down in the midst of eternity, some little something dropped out that said time and stretched itself out like an accordion. Jesus come down here and squeezed it back together and thrown it into oblivion. We are eternal creatures, made to live forever. We're not going to die. We've passed from death unto life. You love the Lord? Having passed from death unto life, are you believing like Enoch? Translated by faith that he should not see death? It's time the church received this. He that receive it, let him receive it. It's time that you begin to receive this, that God has took care of everything, that we're not waiting for God to bring about the redemption of the body. We're only waiting to wit the redemption of the body. Wit, to think, to comprehend, to realize what Christ did at Calvary. To wit the redemption, to recognize the redemption, to accept the redemption, knowing that Christ did all things for us. It's time that we got into business, forgot about this tomorrow and yesterday, and the future and the past and all these kind of things, and come out of the world. Get our mind out of the world. Get ourselves out of the world. Walk over here in heaven with Jesus. For he said, we're the body of Christ. He said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. As I am, so are ye, saints. For he's chosen you out of this world. Hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. It's time to start doing it. Somebody said, well, bless God, the problems I'm having, it sure don't look like heaven to me. It ain't heaven. I'm talking to them people that's done got out of all that mess. If you get out of that mess and you get on up there in heaven, it'd be different. But you're playing around out there in the world professing Christianity. Some kind of a believer, don't know nothing about heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you, Jesus said. It don't come by observation. You're not going to see Christ in the way that you think you are. The Bible said he shall suddenly appear within his saints to be glorified within his saints. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's what caused the Jews to miss it. They were not spiritual. Come on, folks. If that ain't Bible, you need to holler out and say, wait a minute. But when you do, I want you to prove your point. He said, preach the word. How many believe the kingdom of heaven's on the inside of you? How many believe the world's on the inside of some of you? God spoke the world into existence and it appeared on the inside of you. And now God, through the ministry, is speaking the world out of the hearts of them that want to get rid of it. He's speaking it out of existence and speaking the kingdom of God into you. Come on, folks. With the brightness of this revelation coming, he's destroying that image of perversion of first birth. Isn't that right? And it ain't found no more. With the brightness of his coming, it's dissipating and going away. And in its stead, there appears the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect man. Can we stand together? A lot I'd like to say. But you've been real patient, and I need to stop. I was thinking today, thinking about what this had to do with, how that has to do with the church and the crown. And sure enough, from over at Brother Mitch's house, that's really something, the resurrection. You know, Mitch has been an undertaker. Coming out of Indiana too, being raised up in Brother Branham's following. It is just perfect for what we said concerning the man that ministered this morning. And here they come bringing a little crown, a little golden hand like that with a little golden crown sitting in it. And somebody else had weaved together something out of beautiful jewels like beads, and it was called heavenly blue. And he set that little crown down on that heavenly blue. And I looked, and it said this was from Brother Mitch and him. It said this is from Samuel and Eternal Joy. One of the little children named Samuel, one of them named Eternal Joy. This is from Samuel, Eternal Joy, the heavenly blue, the crown. God's good, isn't he? So wonderful to be a Christian. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe what, Brother Pye? Jesus said, you're God's. You're God's. Is it abnormal to think that God's dwell in heaven? Is it abnormal to think that God's dwell in heaven? Did you not say that you're the sons and daughters of God? If you're the sons and daughters of God, where are God's? What is God's? Doesn't God bring sons of God? Doesn't sons of God come from God? Can a son of God be anything but a God in that he's born of God? What is God's dwell? They dwell in heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is where Jesus is. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, that's heaven, because I'm there. Like the song we wrote, you know, heaven won't be heaven without you. Did you know there ain't no heaven without Jesus? That's what heaven is his presence. That's heaven, is his presence. The Spirit of God is heaven. To be in the Spirit of God is to be in heaven, whether it's down here, up there, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Like I told the people a lot of times, I said, you Gentile folks are in heaven. You know, it's hard for some of you Christian people to believe. Some of you Christian people, my God, I can't believe I'm in heaven, Brother Pike. But I told the Gentile folks, I said, you're in heaven. I tell them tonight, they're in heaven. Them Gentiles are in heaven. Revelation 12, when John saw that second heaven over there, where Lucifer is, as long as the blood's on the seat of atonement, that's heaven. That's heaven. Somebody said, I don't believe it's heaven. Well, it's like I told them. I said, wait till you get in hell, and you can tell the difference. If you don't believe it's heaven, wait till you get in hell, and then you can tell the difference. You can tell you've been in heaven. Folks, when you're around where you can take a pill and you can go to the doctor and you can get your pain stopped and you can eat and you can drink when you're thirsty and eat when you're hungry and you can stop your pain, that's heaven. When that heaven is gone, the Bible said them beasts out there, God will pour out his vial upon the seat of that beast and they'll gnaw their tongues for pain. They'll be in hell, sure enough. They'll be in misery, sure enough. They'll be able to know then that they've been in heaven. They can tell the difference. At second heaven, Lucifer was cast out. How was he cast out? When the blood was taken off the seat of atonement, them people, that's the body of Lucifer out there, wasn't in the grace of God no more. They wasn't in heaven. The blood life, which is the red dragon, was cast out. Jesus said a generation of vipers. John laid the axe to the root of the tree at Calvary. Cut the tree of knowledge down, the whole generation all the way back down to the garden. Started a new generation, and Jesus is the beginning of the new generation. For he is the beginning of the creation of God. So then they're cut down. They've fallen from grace. They're under the law. They're cursed people. After a while, grace is going to lift because the last child of God is going to be perfected, or the last child of God is going to be born, or the last one's going to go into the ark, and the rain's going to come. So when the grace leaves, it'll be when the blood's taken out. When the blood's taken off, it means blood life can't be in the presence of God anymore, the red dragon. He can't come there anymore. Because as long as blood life can come, Lucifer, the spirit of infiltration, lives in that human body. When grace is gone, that human body can't come into grace anymore. Gnaw their tongue for pain. The red dragon's gone. The old infiltrated body's gone. Lucifer loves the things of the flesh. Flesh is gone. Flesh won't be in his presence no more. Jesus died. The blood on the seat of atonement to allow flesh and blood to be in the presence of God until this thing ends. You love Jesus? How much more are we in heaven? Did you know in Revelation 12 it said that Lucifer was cast down? But did you notice the woman that was in heaven travailing, which is, has to do with the Jew and the church, clothed with the sun, the glory of God. Did you notice that woman wasn't cast out? She fled away into the wilderness, even the Jew. But she had the glory of God on her. It didn't say the glory of God lifted off of her because she went over there to the cities of refuge. But see, it lifted from Lucifer. Right now, the body of a sinner can be in the grace, and the rain comes on the just and the unjust. Drunkards, harlot, and murderers. But that's going to stop, folks. He's just waiting for the children to finish their course. And then everything will be over. School will close down. That'll be it. Let's sing a little chorus together. The end of all things is at hand. The time is at hand. When the revelation comes, the time is at hand. That means the end of time. No more time. What we refer to as time, giving us something to keep our stability as to positions of life, means and measurements. He said the time, the day of the coming of the Lord, the time is there now. That time is there. It's there. When the revelation comes, he said, once you know it, you're like Enoch, you can go on home then. Once you know it. Somebody said, well, now, Brother Pike, if that be true, then why don't you go on into the kingdom of God since you know it? I did. Been there for a long time. Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. He said, but I see you. So did Nicodemus see Jesus. Didn't have nothing to do with it. He said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Just because you see me, that don't mean nothing. The Bible said, for God hath, that means already translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. And already put the kingdom of God within us. Already. Somebody said, but you couldn't walk around like that, Brother Pike, if you was in heaven. Jesus stood on the mountain, was there in the transfiguration of Moses and Elijah, and proved that he was in heaven. And told them, said, some of you ain't going to see death till you see the kingdom of God come in his power. Took James and John, some of them there had come. And yet he walked around among them. There he was walking around. But he done proved he was in heaven. Folks, what we need to do is get our eyes open. Old Brother Elijah stood over there. And here come the enemy coming down on old Brother Elijah. And everybody got frustrated. Elijah, he didn't get frustrated. That little servant with him, he got frustrated. Oh my God, he says, look at him coming. Look at him coming. We ain't got a chance. Elijah said, don't be frustrated. It's okay. Everything's already taken care of. No, said, ain't no way. And Elijah said, Father, open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he found out there was another dimension. He found out there was a place called heaven. Isn't that something? He found out that all around Elijah was prancing horses and fiery chariots. Angels. Elijah wasn't afraid. You know, Jesus said at this time I could call down legions of angels if I wanted to. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what a spectacular thing. That fiery chariot zipped down on earth and Elijah got on there and went away. Folks, Elijah was gone a long time before then. He was over there where the fiery chariots was. What it was in his natural man, God wanted to let them know that this great prophet, that the end of his career was there. He was fixing to raise up another one. So he just made manifest to their eyes just exactly like he did to the little servant's eyes. Had one of them fiery chariots and he just let Elijah get on it. And away he went. You love the Lord? Same thing happened to Enoch. Caught away with a whirlwind. I thought myself one night in a vision, and here come a whirlwind. And it come over there and it picked me up. And it got me up and it took me way up into the heavens. And the whirlwind was whirling me around and around. Way up in the heavens. I remember that little poem about the whirlwind. Thistle seed, how do you remember that? Whirl you around, take you up high. That was way up. And I was waving goodbye. I was looking way back down at all of them, waving goodbye. What is it? It's the whirlwind of God. It's God's whirlwind. You need to get caught up in it, folks. You need to get caught up in it.
Okay, let's take this course together. Must be time to close. I didn't drink all the water in the jug. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give this glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonder. Oh, love, remember Jesus appeared in glory. Would you like to appear in glory? The Bible said we're changed from glory to glory. Would you like to appear in glory? Somebody said, you can't do that, Brother Pye. Yep, if you're looking tonight, you'll see it. So what do you mean? Well, the Bible says that he hath glorified us with his own glory. Don't you feel good being in glory? Don't you feel good being in glory? Somebody said, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about believing. But you can't do that, Brother Pike, but you can if you believe, see? All things are possible to him that believe. That's how it comes, it's through believing. Don't come no other way. He said, but you'll take the glory of God. I say again, I didn't take it, he gave it to me. He said, Father, give these the same glory. Glorify these with the same glory that I had with thee before the world ever was. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory with him. Have you ever appeared in glory with him? I like you to appear in glory. It's sweet up here with Moses and Elijah. It's sweet with Jesus. Somebody says, well, I think you're eccentric. Well, that's because you believe that. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you believe I'm eccentric, then you're eccentric. Because that's what you believe. You keep looking at lying vanities. That makes you eccentric. Somebody says, well, I believe what you're saying, Brother Pike. Well, then if you believe what I'm saying, that means you're part of what I am. Said, who do men say that I am? What do you believe, Peter? So I believe you're the Christ. No, somebody said it couldn't be. I know his daddy. I know his mother. But don't you know he was born over here? That's Mary's boy. Yeah, but Peter said, yeah, but I can't see that. Oh, my God, I see something you don't see. Do you see something others don't see tonight? Your eyes being enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, the revelation, the time is at hand. Can you believe tonight? Jesus said, if thou canst believe. If I said wrong, why not prove it? Why not prove it's not Bible? Why not stand up and just speak right out and say, I'll tell you, preacher, that ain't God's word. Come on, be bold for Christ. I'm bold for Christ. I stand up and say it is God's word. Fear no man anywhere in the world. As to face men, prove that it's not. Nobody in the world. Been all around the different parts of the world. Ain't nobody proved it yet. It's absolutely God. It's thus saith the Lord. It's right. He's my resurrection in my life. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. Well, the second death don't have any power over him. How many of you believe that you've escaped death and passed from death unto life? The second death has no power over you. Raise your hand if you believe that. Sure you believe that. Why do you believe that? Because you have part in the first resurrection. He's living on the inside of you. If you believe that, raise your hand. Sure, how could you pass from death into life if it wasn't like that? You say, but Brother Pike, if you believe that, you'd be running, jumping, hollering, and screaming. Well, I've done that too. I'm sure you've done that. But God's people didn't do that. It's true, when the Spirit of God came upon some of them, that like David of old, they danced with all their might. Praised him in the dance. But there's no record where Jesus ever touched anybody that ever done that. No record in the Bible where not one ever done it. He raised him from the dead. He raised Lazarus. No record where he done it. Took the boy out of the coffin when the mother was standing at the gate. No record where he ever done it. But the Bible does say he rejoiced in spirit. You can get enthused. You can get carried away. And you can feel those holy sensations. And you might dance and you might shout. And if people's got anything in the midst of them, there's going to be some shouting and dancing. Because we've got some children that's going to have a good time. And then we've got some that are men and women. They're parents.
And they rejoice in spirit and they move from glory to glory and they transformate. Sometimes they play with the children. They may shout and jump some. But I'm speaking of this inward work of Christ, beloved friend. A great, mighty work of God. You love Jesus? Lift your hands up with me. They sing that song, we walk in the light. Walk in the light that's shining from heaven. Shining upon us from heaven so bright. Walking in the light. Says, we'll walk in the light. We'll walk in the light. Shining upon us from heaven so bright. You love Jesus? I don't remember the little chorus, maybe Frank does. We'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. By night, by night. Jesus, the light of... Sing it again, can you? We'll walk in the light, that beautiful light, shining from heaven as dewdrops so bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, the light of the world. You know what that light is? That light's heaven. Did you know that you're that light tonight? That the kingdom of the light is on the inside of you? The kingdom of the light, the kingdom of heaven is on the inside of you. And it just breaks forth and it creates an environment. And everybody that gets in that environment's in glory. In glory. Isn't it right? Sing it again now. We'll walk in the light. Won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the light. Shining upon us from heaven so bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, you're the light of my world. Sing it again. We'll walk in God's light. We'll walk in God's light. Shining upon us from heaven so bright. Shine all around us. By day and by night. Oh, Jesus, you're the light of my world. You want to sing it again? We'll walk in God's light. We'll walk in God's light. Shining upon us from heaven so bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, you're the light, my world. Isn't that beautiful? I guess we can start over because we got another jug of water. Let's sing it one more time anyway. We'll walk in... Can you come down to the altar tonight? This is the last night of the camp meeting. I know it's warm in here. I leave the sacred dais just soaked through and through. But can you come down here tonight? Shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, the light of
the world.
Just think tonight, the struggle is over, the battles have been won, the battle is ours. The struggle is over, the works was finished from the foundation of the world, and we have entered into the day of the Lord. We've entered into God's rest. We've entered into God's rest. That's what this revival is about. To tell you that you've entered into God's rest. You've entered into God's rest. You've entered into God's day. You've entered into the greatness of Christ. Don't you love the truth, folks? Don't you love the truth? How do you believe this is the truth? Raise your hand. Glory to God. I believe it's the truth. I know it's the truth. The truth shall make you free from the law of sin and death. It'll make you free from sickness and sorrow and heartaches and woes and problems. It'll make you free from error and mistakes, misunderstandings. God will give you the truth because you love the truth. God will raise you up, keep you from coming to reprobate mind. Don't you love Him? Don't you love Him? Jesus. I want to sing that chorus tonight. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. This is the last night of the camp meeting. We've had a good time. We've had people. We've had ministers to minister up here under the anointing of God. It's good to have Buddy tonight. Buddy ministered under the anointing of God the other night. Beautiful sermon. We've had ministers here that ministered under the anointing of God, brought the wonderful bread of life. Think about that. God Almighty that made heaven and earth. We're His children. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Somebody said, I belong to Bethlehem, Brother Pike. I'm the child of God. Folks, let's look beyond Bethlehem and realize that God's a lot bigger than Bethlehem. I've got children over yonder in Ethiopia. I've got children over yonder in Germany. I've got children around the different parts of the world. God's got children everywhere. Let's think about how great God is, how mighty God is. And let's look out there and think about God, the great, mighty God that made the galaxies. That I'm His son, you're His son, you're His daughter. God, the Heavenly Father. Folks, we've got to get our faith out of this little vice and realize how big our Father is. How God, think about how big your Father is. You know, the devil gets you in a vice up here and he begins to oppress you. And he begins to bring some little old simple nothing on you and talk to you about it. Some poverty, some oppression, something. And he begins to talk with you about it and you just get all frustrated. Because you failed to measure God in your mind as to being the ever-expanding, immeasurable source as to your need and your supply. Think about your Heavenly Father. Think about Jesus tonight. What if Jesus was standing right here tonight? What if He was standing here tonight? What if God was right here with you tonight? How do you believe He is? What if He was here like He was when He walked the shores of Galilee? And He come up to you. And He stretched out them lovely hands. He stretched out them lovely hands. Hallelujah. How do you believe He's done that? When you raise them hands up, that's bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. And He stretched out them lovely hands. Stretch out them lovely hands, folks. He said, I would that men everywhere lift up hands. He said, Jesus' hands. How do you know that, Brother Pike? Because He said, lovely hands. Holy hands. That's Jesus' hands. Hallelujah. No wonder they take you to the cross and crucify you over and over. No wonder the Bible said you're crucified all the day long, killed all the day long, accounted as sheep to the slaughter. No wonder you go through the things you do. Lift up them hands, them holy hands. My God, when I lift up them hands, you know what God sees? He sees Calvary. He said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands that I might remember you and never forget you. A mother might forget her little suckling babe, said, but I won't ever forget you. Think about that love. You lift up Him hands and He sees Calvary. When you lift Him hands up and say, Father, He looks down like that. He says, Jesus, Jesus, what do you want, son? He said, you can have it even to the desires of the heart. I'll give it to you. Not to the half of the kingdom, but I'll give you the whole kingdom. I'll give it to you, all things of yours. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. How do you like to have the kingdom? I've got it. Would you like to have it? The kingdom of God's within you. How do you know that? It's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is what owns all things, created all things, keeps all things in existence, speaks all things out of existence. Let this mind be in you, even the kingdom. Hallelujah. Just think about Jesus tonight. He come and he offered that tender hand. You got sickness, you got problems, you got woes, you got sorrows, you got heartaches. He comes, he sticks out his hand to you. And he says, son, daughter. He says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Remember me? You've heard about me. You've read about me. And he puts his hands out. He says, what's your problem? So don't you remember I went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil? He said, because God's with me. And he said, what's your problem? Would you like for me to do something for you? Somebody said, oh, if he just come. I ask you how many believe he's here. Don't you believe he's got that hand out tonight? Don't you believe he's going about doing good? Don't you believe he's healing? The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the preacher preaches to you? Don't you believe he's standing here tonight? He's saying, which one of you? Somebody said, well, what? And he's standing there. He said, you said you had a problem. He said you were sick. Somebody said, yeah, I got a problem, Brother Pike. I'm sick. I got pain. I got misery. I got oppression. He's standing there. Somebody said, yeah, but what would it cost me? I didn't fast enough. I don't know. I'm not living good enough yet. A whole lot of them folks didn't fast enough and didn't live good enough. Did you know that? But you know the kind of attitude that he likes. The attitude of the man that sent for healing for his servant. He sent for healing for his servant. He wouldn't go. He sent. And he said, Master, he said, my servant needs healing. He said, I didn't think I was worthy for you to come under my roof. And said, I got to thinking about it, and I didn't think I was worthy to come under in your presence either. Since I sent somebody over there to tell you, how about sending over here and healing him? And I'm coming over here. I said, how about sending me word back that he's going to be okay? And Jesus marveled. He said, such great faith. I'm not found so great a faith in Israel. He said, all that man done was just send word over here by somebody saying, send me word over here, my servant's going to be all right. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I'd like to be able to do that. Well, here's his word. Here's his word. For them that asked for it, he sent it over here to you. The Bible said he sent his word and healed him. He sent his word and healed that man's servant. He said, according to your faith, go on back. Now, folks, tonight, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He sent his word over here according to your faith. It's up to you now. How many of you are like that man? How many of you feel so humbled you feel like you're not worthy of anything from God, but you just believe in his goodness anyway? He's got his hands out to you. The same Jesus is here tonight. He's resurrected from the dead. And he's saying to you, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to be delivered of oppression? Do you want prosperity? Do you want blessings? Do you want your help? Do you want this happiness? He's saying, according to your faith. According to your faith. Is that right? According to your faith. Okay, let's sing this song. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And while we're singing tonight, let's worship God. This is the last meeting of the camp meeting. Let's worship God. And let's go away filled up and overflowing like they did there at Pentecost in the upper room. And let's go out and take this to the world. And let's tell the world that the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Let's get away from this yesterday, tomorrow, and protracted meeting. Going to do it again all over. Glory to God, let's go deliver the people. If Christ delivered them and said it's finished, let's go tell them about it. Let's go tell them what God's done for them. Let's don't go there and tell them what they got to do and how they got to fast and how they got to work and what they got to belong to. Let's go tell them that Christ set them free. That God loves them. And what he wants them to do is believe. And brother, if you get them to believe it, it'll draw them closer and closer to wholeness. It'll cleanse that cup up. It'll clean that cup up. The goodness of God will lead them to repentance. Hallelujah. You'll get them away from that bunch of renegades out there that calls themselves preachers. that's got a charismatic move going out there that's robbing them of every dollar and using it for television fame and everything else. And you'll get them in that stream of holiness and they'll begin to clean up and you'll see a move of God in the land like you've never seen before. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Believe you, believe it. Let's sing this song together. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley. And he's your bright and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Sing it like you mean it. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He is the lily of my valley. And he's my bright and my morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody, because of that, oh, let us praise him. Let us praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. We're going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. For sometimes I feel like heaven come down. Heaven's come down, oh heaven, come down. And sometimes I feel heaven come down, heaven come down on me. So let us praise him. Oh, praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. I'm gonna praise him. I want to praise him. Praise him when the sun's going down. Oh, let us love him. Love him. Love him in the morning. Love him at the noontime. Oh, love him. I'm gonna love him. Love him when the sun goes down. Don't you love Jesus? If you really love him, let's sing this together. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Ain't gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. So let us love him. Love him. Love him in the morning and love him at the noontime. I'm gonna love. I'm gonna love him. You love him? You want to praise him? Let's take a few more minutes, can we? To love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, if you have to tell me to say it's no good, well, sometimes folks misunderstand. If I say raise your hands, that's good. If you raise them, you're being obedient. You do it to the least of these, you do it unto God. So when you raise your hands, if you praise the Lord, you do it to the least of these, you do it unto God. Even though it's right to remember that if you're really going to praise God, you've got to get a praise coming out of your innermost being to God. Not just obeying the minister. You get a reward for that. But you want it to come out of your innermost being. Isn't that right? All right, let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say I believe him in heaven. I believe him in heaven. I believe heaven's in me. Glory to God, I believe I've passed from death unto life. I don't believe I'll ever come into condemnation. I believe God supplied all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I believe that God's given me all things in Christ Jesus. I believe that all things are mine. Hallelujah! I'm praising God for the abundance of all things. Praise God for the abundance of all things. The Bible said sorrow, heartaches, problems, woes, they come on you because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness for it. That merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The Bible said to praise him for the abundance of all things. These things come on you because you don't believe you've got all things. But when you believe you've got all things, you praise him for the abundance of all things. That's faith. Convince yourself of it. Convince yourself of it. Don't you believe the scripture? The Bible said all things are yours. God said I've given you all things that pertain unto life. Doesn't that mean finance? Doesn't that mean health? Doesn't that mean securities, even eternal securities? Did he say, I want you to have life filled up and overflowing? Where's your filled up overflowing life tonight? He said, I'm the Prince of Life. That is your life. Have you got him tonight? I want you to lift your hands up and love him. Lift your hands up and love him. Say, Jesus, I thank you for the abundance of all things tonight. I've got all things tonight. I'm not trying to figure out how to get all things, Jesus. You freely gave them to me at Calvary. Glory to God, I'm going to enjoy some of them. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I've been working all my life. I'm going to retire and enjoy some of it. Glory to God, it's time we start enjoying some of it. Hallelujah. Have you ever fasted in your life? Sure you have. Have you ever prayed in your life? You know you have. Folks, it's time to start enjoying some of it. Entered into the rest of the Lord. Entered into the rest of the Lord. The Bible said he that had believed has ceased from his own works. He's entered into the works of God. He's strong in the power of his might. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Claim your benefits tonight. Brother Buddy said the other night, David prayed, said, God, help me. My soul, worship God, he said. Don't let me forget those benefits. No, let me forget those benefits. What is the benefits? Healing, salvation, happiness, peace, deliverance, prosperity, glory to God, eternal security. Somebody lift your hands up and praise God tonight. Lift your hands up and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To love Jesus tonight. To praise God tonight. Hallelujah. Just to love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me a key, Frank. Ananias. Oh, Ananias. Tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias. Ananias. Tell me what kind of man this Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the blind and the blind could see. Tell me what kind of man Jesus is. He spoke to the blind, and the blind could see. Tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the lame, and the lame could walk. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. He spoke to the dumb, and the dumb could talk. That's the kind of a man my Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man that Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, what kind of man that Jesus is. Somebody say hallelujah. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Oh, when my Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. They put old Paul in the Roman jail, didn't have no one to go his bail. But when my Lord got ready, he had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. Oh, when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. Put old Paul in the Roman jail, but Paul had something he had to tell. And when the Lord got ready, he had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. For when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. They put Daniel in the lion's den, but sweet, sweet Daniel had done no sin. And when the Lord got ready, he had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. For when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. For when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to move, folks. You got to do something. God wants you to do something. Tonight, do you feel at liberty after this camp meeting? Wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. I want you to lift your hands if you feel that liberty. Will you do that? Do you actually feel the yoke broken? The Bible said the anointing will break the yoke. Brother Buddy and other great men have been here. And God has been here, and words have been here. And the yoke is broken. We're free, folks. We're free. Let's don't go be entangled again. Glory to God. Keep your faith. Keep your faith up. Go with your faith. Say, my God, this is of Jesus. I'm in God's rest. This is of God. I've got victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. My faith in what God did. Hallelujah. I'm going to share my victory with somebody. I'm going to inspire somebody. Hallelujah. Brother Al, we're going to inspire somebody. Glory to God. You got the victory. Even the victory that overcometh the world. Tell them folks about the victory. Witness of God. Don't go say God isn't meeting my needs. I don't know why God isn't meeting my needs. Don't go say I'm thinking I can't make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. The very fact that you testify like that proves that you're not believing. Say glory to God. I feel His presence. I feel better. That sickness is a lying vanity. Jesus, you did it all at Calvary. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on and I'll overcome it. Hallelujah. I'm believing. That devil ain't got no power over me. Tell him. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. He'll tread on devils and demons and serpents. Deadly things won't hurt you. See, walk in that liberty, sons and daughters of God. You're God's daughters. You're sons. You're not under bondage. You've never been under bondage to any man. They said, bless God, we're Abraham's seed. If they could say we're not under bondage to any man because we're Abraham's seed. Folks, tonight we're the seed of Almighty God. We're under bondage to no man. Hallelujah. You're children of liberty. Let's go forth and enjoy that. Let's think right. As a man thinketh, so he is. Let's think God's on our side. Let's think we're on His side. Let's think God loves us. Let's think we love God. Let's do everything to prove to ourselves we do love God. And let's think God's going to meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And we're going to receive them because we appreciate it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They write me from overseas. They write me from India. And they say, Brother Pye, the Lord said that we be asking and you be giving. They expect that. Did you know that? They said the Bible said ask and be given unto you. Said, you know, they speak broken English. Said, we be asking and you be given. Said, we believe that, Brother Pye. Hard to turn it down. So men, you're going to be asking. God's going to be giving. I like that, don't you? Say praise the Lord one more time. Say I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. While you've got your hands lifted up tonight, loving Christ, telling Him how much you love Him and appreciate Him, I want to call somebody up tonight to dismiss you. I believe God's done something for you in this camp. I mean, He's done something for me. As a matter of fact, I think I'll ask Buddy to come up if you will. Buddy's here tonight. Ask Buddy to come up and dismiss you tonight. I want you to lift your hands up. And I want you to love Him tonight. That liberty, that glory, that grace. Appear with Him in glory tonight. Let Him glorify you. For God hath glorified them that are sanctified. I got some sanctified folks. Let's appear in glory with Him tonight. Come on, folks. Hallelujah.